continued to fly above him through the trees. At first, she had dive-bombed the rock giant, unleashing Psi Blast, but it had barely slowed the giant. After one close call where she had narrowly avoided being caught in its huge hands, Richter commanded her to just fly above him. It wasn't worth the risk. Richter continued to follow the tracks. Over the next half hour, he used almost all of his stamina potions. Futin came back several times to report he had found nothing, and each time Richter sent him forwards again. He was looking around for a place to make his last stand when Futin spoke.
"I have found a cave, my lord."
Richter didn't have much left inside him, so he simply gasped,
"Show me!"
The gray orb appeared. Richter cursed as the soft light burned in his night vision enhanced sight. Luckily, Futin's inner glow wasn't bright enough to blind him. He dismissed his spell and continued to run. After another few minutes, he was greeted by an amazing sight. A black hole was set into the side of a rocky hill. The cave opening would be way too small for the rock giant, he thought, with the glimmer of kindling hope. The thuds grew louder behind him. His stamina was nearing depletion. He had found that he couldn't actually run himself unconscious, but his low stamina made him feel like it was a constant and imminent threat. He had been running on E for the past minute or so, and the rock giant was closing in for the kill. Richter didn't hesitate. He ran up to the hill and dove through the black opening, hoping it was empty. Alma flew in after him and Futin floated in as well. The remnant's light showed Richter that his first assumption was wrong. He wasn't in a simple cave. He had entered the mouth of a tunnel. Even if the sun had been out, it would have been an easy mistake to make because directly in front of him was a blank wall. The tunnel continued through a large crevice in the floor. A black chasm 2 feet across was located at the back of the cave. Richter couldn't see anything, but he could hear wind whistling as it traveled ever farther down the tunnel. It registered to Richter that if he could see the inside of the cave, then anyone or anything could, which meant,
"Futin, turn off your light!"
The cavern went dark at the same time that a rocky hand plunged into the tunnel. Richter flattened himself against the wall, and the giant's hand felt around blindly for him. Luckily, it started too shallowly, a good 3 feet from his position. Remembering its aversion to fire, he cast Flame. The result was not what he had been hoping for. Rather than retract its arm, the giant just roared in anger and reached further in. There was only one place for Richter to go. He shouted for Alma and Futin to go ahead of him. The dragonling flew down the chasm and Futin floated into the crack. Richter shoved his body into the crevasse in the floor. Bracing his back on one wall and his hand on the other, he strained to keep himself in place. Now Richter wished he hadn't made the remnant extinguish the light because he couldn't see how far of a drop it was. That didn't matter, though, because the giant had found him. A rough and rocky fingertip reached him as the giant strained to push its arm as far as it could into the tunnel. The finger traced down Richter's face, producing both blood and a scream when he felt the thin skin on his forehead tearing. The monster roared in triumph at finally being able to touch its quarry. The hand drew back slightly, then surged forward again as the giant slammed its shoulder against the lip of the tunnel. The rocky opening crunched slightly, but it still couldn't get any further in. Richter edged himself a few more inches down the crack in the floor. The rock giant yelled in frustration, and its dark gray fingers waggled only inches from his face as it strained to reach him. Holding himself in place was almost beyond Richter, considering that he was already so exhausted. As the monster rammed its shoulder into the cave mouth again, Richter called out that he needed light. Futin's glow showed that the drop was only a few feet, but the floor beneath him was sharply sloped and continued until it passed under a ledge. Richter couldn't see where it led. Dropping now wouldn't hurt, but he doubted that he'd be able to stop himself. If that slope ended in empty space, well, that was game over. Richter's arms quivered, and one knee slipped before he caught himself. He knew that the option of whether to go deeper into the crevasse was about to be made for him. That was when the giant's arm withdrew, however. Richter couldn't believe it. After being chased for hours, he was finally about to gain a respite? The answer was no. While the mouth of the cave was stone, the roof was just earth in certain places. The rock giant began pummeling and tearing apart the hill above the cave. Each blow made dirt fall onto Richter. the blood flowing from his forehead mixed with the falling particles and made a dark paste on his face. He didn't even notice that, however, because after the third blow, a hole appeared in the ceiling. By the fifth blow, it had widened to the size of a basketball. On the seventh, a large portion of the ceiling collapsed, and Richter found himself staring up at the rock giant's grinning face. He quickly tried to shuffle lower into the crevice as it reached its hand into the cave. His strength gave out, and he fell. Richter had been right. After falling a few feet to the slope below, he couldn't stop himself and continued to roll for another 20 or 30 seconds. When the incline finally leveled out, he was laying on a cold stone floor. He could hear water dripping somewhere in the distance, and his tracking skill showed the same clawed prints he had been following outside. Futin's light showed that the tunnel continued in only one direction and still sloped downward, albeit at a much gentler incline than the slope he had just fallen down. Alma sat on a nearby rock looking at him in concern. The bones of small animals littered the floor of the tunnel. Some of the animals had not been completely consumed, and the smell of fetid meat hung thick in the air. More powerful than that, however, was another scent. That smell provided the answer to what type of tracks he had been following. He had only smelled this particular stench once before, and it had been fairly recently. Grimly looking on into the darkness that extended past Futin's sphere of light, he quietly said one word. Cobalt. Chapter 16, Day 94, Kuralt 13, 15,368 EBG. Richter immediately had Futin extinguish his light. He then cast night vision, but to his dismay, there didn't seem to be any ambient light. Even with his vision enhanced, he couldn't see anything. Sighing, he had Futin emit the lowest intensity glow the remnant could manage. The level of illumination was so low that Richter wouldn't have been able to detect Futin if not for his enhanced vision, but it was enough to get the job done. His sight came alive in a contrast of green and black. Richter reached out for Alma. The dragonling crawled up his arm and settled upon his shoulders. At his mental order, she crawled under his cloak of concealment. Then he hitched up his hood and invoked stealth. A blinking icon showed that his hurried flight had earned him some prompts. Congratulations, you have reached skill level 5 in dark magic. New spells are now available. Congratulations, you have reached skill level 8 in air magic. New spells are now available. Your long flight through the night has increased your characteristics, +1 to agility, +1 to endurance. The only sounds in the tunnel were the faint drip of water and Richter's own breathing. Judging by the amount of rot on the half-eaten kills, this tunnel had been used at least a week ago. Just waiting here was not an option. An entire kobold tribe could be up his ass soon, and he would be unable to run. Looking up at the slope he had just fallen down, he judged that climbing back up would be difficult, but should be possible. Should be possible, that is, once he faced an extremely unpleasant task. Fixing his injuries, namely his shoulder. First, he fixed his face. The rock giant's hands had excoriated his forehead and nose. Worse, one strip of ragged skin hung over his eye like a creepy flap. He carefully picked it up and held it in place with one hand and did the brief hand gesture for weak, slow heal with the other. With a muttered word of power, the skin healed back into place and the slow dribble of blood running down his face ceased. The spell, unfortunately, did not fix his shoulder. It had been pushed mostly back into the socket by his tumble down the hill, but when he ran his fingers over the joint, it clearly was still not fully back into position. Looking around, he found a small crack in the wall. Lips pressed tightly together, he guided the hand of his injured arm into the crevice until half of his forearm had disappeared. He then placed one foot against the wall, and making sure his arm was secure, he sharply twisted his body and yanked. With an almost audible pop, his shoulder was set back into place. Expecting the pain this time, he was able to grit his teeth and only a muffled shout escaped his lips. Though the maneuver definitely caused pain, a cool relief also spread through him now that all of his parts were where they should be. Richter cast weak, slow heal again and felt the pain in his shoulder lessen to a barely perceptible level. The spell might not be able to fix broken bones, but it worked wonders for inflammation. That done, he looked up at the steep hill that had brought him underground. Richter took out his dagger and started climbing. He jabbed the weapon into the earth as a mobile handhold and slowly inched up the slope. His entire body was sore, but he didn't stop. Richter planned to get almost to the top and listen for the rock giant. If he didn't hear anything, he'd ease his way out of the hole and make his way to the village while concealed. As he got closer to the top of the slope, he started looking for the entrance to the cave, but didn't see anything. He finally found a spot where the dirt of the incline had been disturbed, and he realized that the reason he couldn't find the entrance was that it didn't exist anymore. The disturbance in the dirt marked where he had fallen, and above it was only a pile of dirt. Richter didn't know how long he had been out, but that damn giant must have kept banging on the cave until it collapsed. Richter's face contorted in anger, and it was only because he was in dangerous territory that he didn't scream aloud in frustration. He only had one option now. He had to follow the tunnel. Richter made his way back down to the bottom of the underground hill, silently cursing. Once at the bottom, though, he stopped his lament. Sure, he was covered in horrible burn scars and buried alive in an underground warren of intelligent lizard monsters who specialized in deadly traps, but as his grandpappy used to say, a little hard work never hurt anyone, but I'll beat your ass if you don't get to work. Richter got to work. He drank a potion of clarity and gave another to Alma. No reason to waste any experience that might be coming their way. After that, he accessed his traveler's map. With a bit of focus, he switched from an above-ground view to a subterranean map. Richter sighed. He had hoped that the maps he had obtained from the kobold he had charmed in the catacombs, Tryirin, would link to where he was now. All he saw was the small bit of tunnel he was now standing in, though. Everything else around him was the pure black of unexplored territory. With another mental command, the map drew back to encompass a greater area. He kept zooming out until he found the tunnels Tryirin had drawn. Richter's nostrils flared. He had to be miles away. No, he realized, it was worse than that. He was miles west and miles up from where he had found that abandoned temple, and all that he could see was black in between. Tryirin's maps were almost useless to him right now. It would be like if he only had a map of Manhattan, but had to find his way there underground from Long Island. If he got close enough, the map might come in handy, but otherwise, he was just stumbling around in the dark. The only saving grace was that his flight from the giant had brought him roughly north and east, so he was at least closer to the Mist Village than he had been before. Richter closed his map and whispered softly, "Futin, stay invisible and speak quietly. Can you get us out of here?"
"I have no ability to tunnel through rock, my lord,"
came the reply. "What can you do? Can you guide us home underground?"
"I have no navigational abilities, my lord."
Richter nodded to himself in the dark. He had known it was probably a long shot. If only you could just transport us home.
"I have no ability to transport you home, my lord."
Richter paused for a second and thought about the remnant's phrasing. "Do you have a way to get yourself home?"
"I am tied to the Mist Village, and specifically the Great Seal, my lord. I am only able to be this far afield because of my proximity to you. I can return to the Great Seal at any time."
"Why didn't you say anything about this before?" Richter asked tersely.
"My duty is to serve the master of the Mist Village. I can only do this effectively while I am with you. Also, you never asked, my lord."
Richter covered his face with both hands and breathed deeply three times to calm himself. He could not start yelling at Futin when they were in a monster den. He suddenly knew exactly how Dr. Evil felt after being thawed. "You have to tell me these things! I am the boss! I need the info!"
"Yes, my lord," came Futin's monotone reply.
so you can return to the Great Seal," Richter continued softly. "How? Is it a spell?"
"It is an ability, my lord. I can at any time invoke it, and I will be instantly transported."
"Can you come back afterwards?" Richter asked.
"No, my lord. I will have no way to return."
"And I'm guessing that you can't take me and Alma with you?"
"I have faint memories of transporting others in the distant past, but that would be beyond my current capability. Perhaps when the village levels, my lord, but currently I cannot."
"So when you're gone, you're gone," Richter said to himself.
"Yes, my lord. When I leave, I will not physically be present here any longer."
"What? I wasn't talking to... Just be quiet a second, let me think," Richter said waspishly.
Silence reigned for a full second before he heard in a deadpan tone,
"Yes, my lord, being quiet."
Richter glared at the remnant, outlined in the green and black. "I know that you're fucking with me, man." As ordered, though, Futin remained quiet and did not respond. Turning his mind from the irritating orb, Richter thought it through. Communicating with Hisako and Randolphus was important. The last information they would have received would have come from Tirad. That report would just say that he was about to fight two trained killers. They would have every reason to think he was dead or captured. What they would do in that case was anyone's guess, but they might waste time and resources coming to get him. When there was so much to be done and so many threats to face, that was not a small consideration. Richter also had to factor in that while both he and Futin were here underground, no Mistworkers were being summoned. That would dramatically slow down the growth of the village and the construction of defenses. He had no idea how long he would be stuck down here, and he couldn't just waste this time. There were many reasons why sending Futin back would be a helpful move. There was one obvious reason why he shouldn't, though. Namely, that Futin wouldn't be here to help him. Right now, Richter was reliant on the remnant to even see. He could always cast a light spell, but it would be like sending up a signal flare down here. Even though Futin was emitting light, it was much less conspicuous than a bright ball of white light. Sending the gray orb away would seriously compromise his position, and Richter refused to be the dumb sorority girl with the perky tits in the horror movie.
"Oh no! Who could have foreseen that my decision to have sex in the middle of a murder spree with the weird guy in the van with the blacked out windows could have gone wrong?"
"You know who," Richter thought. "Me!" He wouldn't shoot himself in the foot by sending away a needed ally. He also doubted that kobolds were the most dangerous things down here. In stories, underground monsters were usually bigger, meaner, and toothier than their above-ground counterparts. There was, of course, no way to be sure that even the faint light Futin was exuding wouldn't be seen, but it was certainly less conspicuous than his light spells were. He decided that he couldn't send Futin back until he found another way to see in the dark, but it was good to know that he had the option. He went back to working the problem. He had been trapped underground for weeks when unlocking his life mastery. During that time, he and the sprites had eaten most of the dried rations that were in his bag of holding. He had enough left for perhaps a week, but no more. Checking his food stores brought the fact that he hadn't eaten in a day to the forefront of his mind. His frantic pace while riding the Okami hadn't lent itself to eating, and then his fight with the assassin and warrior had exhausted him. He had felt the pangs of hunger while he had rested under the tree, but sleep had seemed a more pressing priority. After that, his frantic escape from the rock giant had driven hunger from his mind again. After burning what must have been thousands of calories, though, his belly was now starting to turn in knots. To emphasize how much energy he had expended, his stomach gave a loud growl. In the silence of the tunnel, the sound seemed overly loud. Richter took a travel ration from his bag. Before eating, though, he carefully broke it in half and placed the remainder back in the bag. He would have to ration until he found another source of food. That being said, he looked at the remains of some of the animals around him. It all smelled terrible, but he realized that such scraps could very well be the difference between life and death in the near future. Picking up a piece that seemed less rancid than the others, he examined it. "You have found spoiled rabbit meat. Durability, 2 of 5. Food class, common. Quality, spoiled. Weight, 0.3 kilograms. Traits. This can be used as bait for carrion feeders. You will most likely become sick if you eat this.
Richter dropped it in disgust.
He wasn't that hungry yet. Further examination of his inventory showed he had several skins of water. Fresh water hadn't been a problem in the last dungeon because of an underground lake, so he had never needed to dip into his stores. At least he didn't have to worry about that for a while. Looking through his inventory revealed something else, the sustenance belt. He had all but forgotten about the item. It would allow him to exist on 31% less food and sleep. Right now, he wouldn't forego the +4 that his belt of strength gave him, but if he ended up being caught underground for weeks, then the sustenance belt might save his life. The last preparation Richter made was to fill the ring of spell storage. He decided to use charm this time. His fight with the giant had showed him that the ring could let him cast the same spell in succession, cooldown or not. The idea of being able to convert two enemies quickly to his side rather than just one was something that he couldn't pass up. With all immediate concerns taken care of, Richter's mind finally stopped racing. The battle with the rock giant and the run through the forest started to take its toll. His head felt like it was spinning, and he had to sit down so he didn't fall down. Not able to fight off his exhaustion any longer, he pulled his cloak of concealment around his body and dropped into unconsciousness. Richter slept for several hours. His dreams were plagued by sadistic women with butcher knives and 80-foot-tall giants that slowly ripped off his arms and legs. When he awoke, he was covered in sweat and his heart was racing. He immediately stood and drew his shadow dagger. His breath came out in ragged gasps as he looked around for enemies. Futin spoke up.
"I have been scouting the tunnel ahead. No enemies have come near."
Richter exhaled in relief.
"Thank you, Futin. How long was I asleep?"
"Only a few hours, my lord. I need to remind you that your time to allocate your points is almost elapsed."
Richter nodded. He was fairly sure that he wouldn't be making it back to the village in the next day. He decided to invest in his most advanced skill again. 75% went into herb lore. Congratulations! You have reached skill level 39 in herb lore. Herbs are 117% more effective. Increased chance of finding higher level herbs. Dismissing the prompt, Richter got up and looked around. Nothing caught his eye, so he activated stealth and started moving down the tunnel. The path twisted like a snake, and in several spots, Richter had to squeeze his body through tight junctions. At one point, he was stuck for a heart-thudding series of moments, but he was able to wriggle free and continue onward. For the first couple hours, nothing happened. That was not to say that Richter's travel was stress-free. Just by the fact that he was completely enclosed by tons of rock made him apprehensive. The air had a stale quality, lacking the movement of wind that he barely noticed when above ground. He had to force down his mild claustrophobia several times. Occasionally, he heard a scratching or scrabbling, but when he looked, there was nothing there. He kept searching for traps, and when he finally found one, it was only luck that kept him from triggering it. The tunnel had branched several times while he was walking, but he never deviated. The course he was following terminated in a blank stone wall. The tunnel itself continued, but it required jumping or climbing to a ledge 8 feet above where Richter was standing. Undaunted, he jumped and was easily able to grab the lip of the ledge above, but when he pulled his head high enough to see over the edge, a red tripwire glowed not 2 inches away from his fingers. If he had thrown his arm over the ledge to pull himself further up, the trap would have been triggered. Richter froze. His eyes darted back and forth, searching for more threats, but nothing else started to glow red. He started to experience the slightest of tremors in his fingers from supporting his whole weight while his arms were flexed. It was clear that the tripwire was only meant to cover part of the tunnel. The entrance to this new segment of tunnel was 5 feet across, and the tripwire was only 4. Richter moved himself to the right until he reached the section where he wouldn't risk triggering the trap, and then carefully pulled himself up. Once he was standing again, he examined the trap. Unfortunately, The wire ran into the wall of the tunnel through a small hole.
Richter stared at it. There must be a hollow space behind the wall.
He remembered that the Kobold Trajurin had said his people were masters of traps, but the time and dedication it would take to drill through solid rock to set this trap up was both impressive and disturbing. Even the tripwire itself appeared to be the same color as the dirt floor it rested above. If not for the red glow from his trap detect skill, Richter doubted he ever would have seen it. Richter swallowed, fighting against the sandpaper feeling that now characterized his throat. If this was only the first trap he had come across, how much more diabolical would they become? Richter looked around for what would have been triggered if he had touched the tripwire. A fall of rocks, a series of spears, or maybe a giant buzzsaw that only the penitent man could pass, but he didn't see anything. Part of him wanted to bash at the wall to see what was behind it, but it was a foolish risk. What if he triggered the very trap he was trying to avoid? In the end, Richter just kept walking and left the tripwire behind. The trail of the kobolds was easy to follow thanks to his new tracking skill. Over the next couple of hours, his path continued in a serpentine manner, and he encountered no less than 10 traps and dozens of tunnel offshoots. Some of the traps were pressure plates, and others were tripwires. Twice, he came across small caverns with cleverly disguised deadfalls. None of them offered him a retrievable mechanism, unfortunately, and most seemed to trigger simple darts, rockfalls, or trapdoors. Richter didn't have too hard of a time detecting and avoiding most of the snares. That was until he discovered one after he had triggered it. Richter was in a room where 3 patches lit up red. He was stepping around one of them when he realized that he was sinking. Looking around frantically, he saw that, instead of solid ground, he was actually standing on a heavy tarp that matched the rest of the floor exactly. The ends had been weighted down, so his own mass would only overcome the anchors when he was near the center of the trap. Richter made a lunge, which only caused the tarp to drop faster, but he was able to get a hold of Futin. The remnant's levitating power was not enough to fully support his weight, but it was enough for him to high-step back to solid ground. Richter dropped to his butt when he was safe and looked at the deep cavity that had almost claimed him. A few wooden bars circled the periphery, giving more support for the tarp that had hid the trap. He sidled up to the edge of the pit and saw that it went down at least 50 feet. The bottom was covered in sharp rocks. Looking down, he saw that the walls sloped outward like an inverted cone, so that the base was twice as wide as the opening. A broken limb would have been likely, and climbing back up with that angle, well, it would have been a bitch and a half, to say the least. None of that seemed as important as the fact that it hadn't lit red, though. Richter didn't know if it didn't qualify as a trap somehow, or if it was just so masterfully concealed that his Pierce the Veil skill just wasn't up to snuff. Whatever the reason, he felt like his chances of getting out of the tunnels alive had just been cut in half. He allowed himself a few moments to regain his cool after the near miss. He couldn't just keep sitting on his butt, though, and before long, he was forcing himself back onto his feet. He slowly shuffled around the pit and tested each patch of ground before fully committing his weight to it. Once he was on the other side of the cavern, he followed the tunnel that had the greatest density of foot traffic and continued further into the earth. Richter maintained stealth constantly while he was underground, with Futin several dozen yards ahead. Alma remained comfortably nestled atop his shoulders. Side tunnels had been appearing with greater frequency while he walked, some even leading straight up into the ceiling or down into the floor. He remembered how Trajurin had told him kobolds often dug out side tunnels for the express purpose of trapping intruders, though. He decided to keep following the kobold tracks, reasoning that, at the very least, he wouldn't be led into a blind alley or some kind of death trap. More and more tributaries sprouted off of the main tunnel, and not all were small little rat holes. The tunnel forked again and again, and soon the amount of tracks was equal in both directions. When that happened, Richter chose the path that took him in the direction of the Longfang's territory. His journey took him deeper and further into the earth. Richter was painfully aware that every step was a step further into enemy territory. One truth dominated Richter's life now, though. The only way out was through. Chapter 17, Day 94, Kuralt 13, 15,368 EBG. For the next day, Richter walked down through the tunnels in relative solitude. At one point, he heard a loud roar followed by a shrill scream of pain. The tunnels played tricks with the echoes, and he couldn't reliably say if the noises were closer than 20 feet or further than a mile. He sheltered in a recessed section of the tunnel wall with his cloak over him for long moments, hoping whatever it was didn't come any closer. When silence reigned for a long period, he resumed his journey. Now that he was deeper in the earth, Richter's progress was greatly slowed by all of the traps and blind ends. He had to backtrack over and over. The only good news was that his Pierce the Veil skill went up 2 levels, and his traps and trap disarm skills both went up 1 level. Though he occasionally heard more skittering sounds, he didn't see another soul for the entire first day. Richter knew that his luck couldn't last forever, though, and he was right. He was disabling a particularly difficult series of traps, all level 15 and above, when he heard the barking language of the kobolds. He immediately had Futin turn invisible. He couldn't be sure that kobolds couldn't see the light the remnant had been emitting, even though it was so faint. Of course, without the remnant's ambient light, he was blind, despite his night vision spell. At a quick order, Futin moved ahead to find the encroaching party and then report back. Richter found the wall of the tunnel and edged back into a small crevice. He maintained stealth, and his icon, indicating his effectiveness, remained a green closed eye. Richter waited. He wished that he could cast his buffs, but it would just draw too much attention in the pitch-black tunnel. Alma shifted on his shoulders. "We may have some trouble soon, love. If I light up the space, attack," he told her.
"I am ready, master,"
she thought back. There was a distinctly predatory tone to her thoughts. Less than a minute later, Richter heard Futin's voice directly in his left ear.
"There is a party of 8 kobolds approaching, my lord. I could not analyze them without giving away my position. 4 have spears or small swords, 2 have crossbows, and 1 is slightly larger and wearing armor. The last is carrying a staff, and I can sense magic emanating from her."
Futin's whisper was almost inaudible. Richter nodded. It sounded like a caster and a series of warriors. One of the warriors might have some extra training, but that might actually work in his favor.
"Are they coming this way?"
"I believe so, my lord. There is a small tunnel branching off between their position and here, but they are walking in this direction."
"Do they know I am here?"
"I cannot understand their language, my lord," Futin replied. "But they do not seem to be expecting trouble."
Hopefully it's just a random patrol, he thought. The larger warrior and the one with the staff, are they at the front of the group or in the back?
"They are both in the back,"
Futin answered.
"Good," Richter said. "I want you to hover high above me and several yards away. Let the patrol pass me. When the mage and larger fighter pass my position, flare as brightly as you can. Keep the light in their eyes. Alma, you attack the smaller ones and be careful to avoid the ones with crossbows."
"I am ready, master,"
she thought gleefully. Richter took his bow out of his bag of holding and placed it under his cloak. Next, he adjusted the position of his quiver so that he could swiftly draw and knock an arrow when needed. Between his stealth skill and his cloak of concealment, he looked like nothing more than a shadow in the darkness. He banished night vision and then settled in to wait. The voices grew louder. The kobolds barking echoed in the tunnels. Again, the tunnels made it hard for Richter to gauge how far away they were, but he didn't have to wait long. After only a few minutes, the voices stopped echoing, and he could tell that they were crossing his position. Their footsteps were characterized by a slight scratching as their talons scraped the floor. There was also a faint shush sound. It confused Richter for a moment, but then he remembered that the kobolds had long tails that dragged behind them. Richter kept his eyes screwed shut and his head pointed down. He didn't dare move a muscle until Futin lit up the tunnel. His first encounter with kobolds kept playing through his mind while he waited. He had remained undetected while he stayed still, but they had seen him as soon as he shifted in the slightest bit. He could only guess that their vision was movement-based. Richter kept his breaths shallow. Suddenly there were screams of pain and howls of agony. The darkness Richter had lived in for the past several hours was banished by a bright white light. Richter opened his eyes, and the light nearly blinded him as well, despite not looking directly at it. The Kobold Patrol was almost completely incapacitated. The subterranean creatures could barely even tolerate bright light, but having a light the equivalent of the sun shine directly in their eyes after being in a completely dark tunnel had overwhelmed their senses. Three were down on the ground rolling around in agony, and two others had fallen to their knees as they hissed in pain. Richter wasted no time. He spat the word of power that triggered his spell Charm and overcame the will of the kobold mage. With no hesitation, he pointed his ring of spell holding at the armored kobold and suddenly had another fighter on his side. He followed this up with a third enchantment. With a harsh word of power, his fingers contorted into a peculiar arrangement and he cast Troubled Sleep. Unlike Charm, Troubled Sleep took a whole 3 seconds to cast. It was why Richter seldom used it in battle. Only the pain and disorientation that Futin's brilliance had caused the light-sensitive kobolds let him take the time to cast the spell. 3 seconds didn't seem like a lot in normal times, but in battle, it could be a lifetime. The dark magic writhed down Richter's arm and then shot forward. It flew towards the kobolds and started to circle around some of them. It moved faster and faster, varying its height with each elevation. It was clear that it was running around the circumference of an unseen cylinder, and those caught within it had to either resist the spell or fall into a nightmare-plagued sleep. Of the 5 caught within, only 1 managed to maintain his feet. Since Futin had flared, bringing light to the darkness, less than 10 seconds had passed. Richter's 2 charmed kobolds stood ready to accept orders. 4 were prone, trapped in a nightmare sleep. Of the 2 remaining, 1 was still staring at him in fear and disbelief over the sudden change in her fortune. The last was hightailing it towards a nearby side tunnel. "Alma, drain him!" he shouted mentally. The kobold was quite quick on his feet, but was no match for the dragonling once she had cast weak haste. Before the runner had covered half the distance to his escape route, Alma silently caught him. Her wings flared to slow her momentarily as her 4 legs extended. With a deadly grace, she latched onto the kobold's head. His arms started to come up to push off his attacker, but then he fell as seizures overtook his body. She remained attached as the body collapsed to the ground. The kobold standing near Richter made a quick assessment. She didn't know exactly what had befallen her commander and the mage, but their slack expressions and vacant gaze told her that something was amiss. It clearly had something to do with this cloaked intruder that had arrived in their midst, though. She had seen him cast spells of multiple types, something only the chromatic kobolds could normally do. Though running was the default of the kobold race when faced with a new threat, she knew there was little chance of her escaping, and besides, the human was holding a bow. So she took the only option that was left to her. She attacked. Her spear was extended in a lunge even before Alma had caught the kobold she was chasing. Richter jumped back and to the side in order to avoid the attack, but he needn't have bothered. His charmed kobolds reacted to the threat to their new master. The armored kobold swung his own spear forward and caught the female kobold in its side. The spear had punctured her scaled hide, and blood, more black than red, sprayed from where he struck her. The charmed kobold's attack was strong enough to knock his target to the ground. The kobold mage had started casting a spell at the same time that the armored kobold attacked. The spell had a several-second cast time, and green energy began to surround both the mage and her staff. When she finished casting, she drove the butt of her staff into the ground. A crack appeared in the tunnel floor and zigzagged several feet away. When it finished, a small stone hand rose from the ground. Over the next second, a 1.5-foot-high figure rose from the ground. The ground it had arisen from looked unblemished. The small golem immediately wandered over to the injured kobold and drove a rocky hand into her ankle. The kobold screamed, but that didn't stop the golem from ripping a bloody chunk from her leg. The armored kobold was getting ready to deliver a coup de grace, but Richter said, "Stop!" Immediately, both the mage and the fighter took a step back. With a wave of her hand, the mage had her summoned earth monster step back as well. The injured kobold female looked up at Richter with pure hate in her eyes.
"Just kill me, human. I will die knowing that my people will soon feast on your flesh."
Richter looked back at her dispassionately and said, "You got it." He walked over to where Alma was feeding and drew a dagger. He quickly stabbed the kobold in the heart, ending his life. The dragonling looked at him like the cat that got the cream, extremely satisfied with her meal. "Want some more love?" he asked her.
"Yes, master. Thank you."
He sent her a mental image of the injured kobold, and she launched into the air with an excited trill. The kobold saw death coming and screamed, but the sound was cut off abruptly as Alma began to feed again. Richter had Futin use his identification ability on all of the kobold's equipment, and then he ordered him to turn invisible and sent him to scout the nearby tunnels. It was clear that the glare had been causing his charmed kobolds pain, and he didn't want to risk an adverse stimuli breaking his hold on them. He cast far light and attached a small ball of light to the tunnel wall several yards away. The kobolds did not seem happy, but they no longer looked like they were in pain. The visibility issue taken care of, he walked over to his new allies. Speaking in the barking language of the kobolds, he asked, "Are there any other kobolds nearby? Anyone that would have heard our fight, or is going to come looking for you soon?"
"No, master,"
the armored kobold said. "Are we safe here?" he asked next.
"Nowhere is safe in the depths, master, but we most likely will not be attacked any time soon."
"Good enough for me," Richter said. He pointed to the kobolds that had succumbed to his troubled sleep spell. "I need information. Do any of them have knowledge of the tunnels that the two of you don't?" Even while charmed, the derision could be clearly heard in the armored kobold's voice.
"They are simple soldiers, master. They could not possibly know anything that I do not."
Elitism alive and well, miles underground, Richter thought, shaking his head. "Do you agree?" he asked the mage.
"Yes, master."
The cosign was all Richter needed. He mentally told Alma to drain them as well. It was true that the sleeping kobolds could have had information the charmed two did not, but he had to be practical. There was no way he could control so many of them at once, and time was of the essence. Richter could not forget that he was deep behind enemy lines. He analyzed each and found that they all had the prefix Coal in their names. The armored kobold explained that the Coal caste were born with the ability to use their tails as another prehensile appendage. Richter remembered that the fighter that had lunged at him had had a tail that switched back and forth like a cat's. The Coal caste kobolds had tails that were longer than Richter's charmed kobolds. Some of them had a forged spike that was attached to the tip. Richter saw how it could be used like a scorpion's stinger. After analyzing the third kobold, he was awarded with a prompt. "Congratulations, you have reached skill level 6 in analyze. Your understanding of others has deepened on an intrinsic level." Another prompt had been auto-minimized since he was in combat conditions. "Congratulations, you have reached skill level 7 in stealth. You now inflict 14% greater damage during stealthed attacks, plus 14% to concealment." He dismissed both notifications and left Alma to her feast. Richter turned his attention to the charmed kobolds. He analyzed the mage first. Name, Enfota. Kobold level 13. Health, 190. Mana, 330. Stamina, 140. Disposition, charmed, enmity. Kobolds are small reptilian humanoids. Most adventurers can best a kobold in one-on-one combat, but you will seldom find such a fight. They highly favor traps and ambushes. Kobolds shy from bright light and make their homes underground. It should be a wary adventurer that enters a kobold warren. Kobolds get 2 points to distribute per level, and each level gives +1 to intelligence, dexterity, and agility. Next, he analyzed the armored kobold. Name, Durgen. Kobold, level 12. Health, 200. Mana, 220. Stamina, 170. Disposition, charmed. Enmity. Richter started interrogating them. First he asked about the prefixes in their names. The mage told him that N meant that she was in a caste of kobolds known for their long claws. She demonstrated that the claws on the tips of her fingers could extend another 2 inches. Each looked wickedly sharp. She demonstrated by dragging them down the wall. Shallow furrows could be seen in the stone afterwards. The N caste were normally used as attackers. Apparently, they were also gifted with increased health. Durgen supplied the information about his own caste. Dur denoted a caste devoted to defending mages. These kobolds were born with heavier scales that significantly increased their natural armor. They were also larger, had more health than lower castes, and had greater strength. Next, they told him about their clan, the Saber Claws. Their territory did indeed abut the Longfang clan's territory. Durgen made it clear that there was no love lost between the two clans. The tunnels that joined the territories were all no man's lands and were sites of continual skirmishes. I need to get to the Longfang's land and then travel through them. The mage spoke up.
I do not know how that would be possible, Master. Even for us, it is almost impossible to avoid their traps and patrols. We will, of course, help in any way that we can, Master. I just wanted you to know the risks.
Richter nodded. The information was not anything he hadn't been expecting. After all, he was trapped underground with possibly tens of thousands of monsters. He wasn't going to give up, though. He had them remove all of their gear. While he was at it, he had them help strip the other kobolds as well. When everything was in a pile, Richter ordered them to get to work drawing maps of the tunnels in the surrounding area, and specifically how to get to the Longfang's territory. As an aside, he asked them to jot down any other points of interest. He started going through their possessions. The soldiers merely had an assortment of poorly made weaponry and no armor to speak of. Each had small pouches with a hodgepodge of copper coins, small ingots of copper, and a smattering of low-quality stones. Richter had better luck with Durgen's equipment. You have found Hide Cuirass. Defense +3, max +5. Durability 11 of 16. Item class common. Quality poor. Weight 1.3 kilograms. You have found Earth Snake Pants. Defense +5. Durability 15 of 17. Item class common. Quality average. Weight 0.7 kilograms. Traits +3% earth resistance. You have found Iron Spear. Damage 8 to 11. Max 10 to 12. Durability 13 of 18. Item class common. Quality poor. Weight 1.6 kilograms. You have found Health Potion. Potion class common. Potion level brew. Strength weak. Weight 0.1 kilograms. Traits. Heals 34 health over 136 seconds. You have found Pouch. Durability 4 of 6. Item class common. Quality average. Weight 0.7 kilograms. You have found Box Trap. Item class common. Quality poor. Weight 0.1 kilograms. Traits. Triggering this trap will release the contents. Richter asked the fighter what was in the box and was told that it was an orange mold. The mold released spores that got into the victim's lungs and made their lungs spasm. It caused poison damage, and there was also a chance that the spores could cause the victim's diaphragm to completely lock up for a short time. They would be incapacitated until the effect passed. A small wire was attached to the release mechanism. The box was no more than 3 by 3 by 3 inches. The trap would most likely be best used to booby-trap the inside of a chest. When Richter heard about the deadly fungus in the box, he checked the quality again. Seeing poor, he decided to handle it gently. He placed it in his bag of holding where it shouldn't be able to harm him. Next, he went through the mage's items. The most interesting thing was the staff. It was topped with the skull of what looked like a monkey, of all things. It had a sloping brow, protruding nose, and two long fangs in place of incisors. The skull was attached to a staff of polished wood. You have found Summoning Staff of Earth. Attack 3-5, max 7-9. Durability 12/37. Item class uncommon. Quality superb. Weight 1.3 kilograms. Traits. Summoned earth creatures are 14% stronger. The quality of the staff seemed much better than anything else the kobolds had possessed. When he asked about it, Enfota calmly explained that she had taken it from a gnome family that was caught in a trap. The entire family had fallen into a deep pit. Rather than risk direct confrontation with a potentially dangerous enemy, the kobolds had simply left the family in the trap for weeks. She explained that a kobold sentry was left to watch them from hiding. They slowly died of dehydration. The father had been holding the staff when her squad had come to search the remains. She remarked that he had also been holding the body of his small child. As Richter heard her speak, he was shocked and horrified at the nonchalant way she relayed her story. She didn't even stop drawing the maps. She had seemed to take a small amount of joy in that the trap had worked well, but there was absolutely no inflection as she described the slow and painful death of a family of sentient beings, at least some of them children. Richter didn't know if he could call the kobold mage evil, since the events didn't seem to affect her one way or another. She seemed to exhibit a complete lack of morality one way or another. Either way, he no longer felt any reservation about what he had planned for these two. He kept going through her gear. You have found Bracelet of Mana. Durability 11/13. Item class, common. Quality, above average. Weight, 0.1 kilograms. Traits, increases maximum mana by +3. Well, that's utter crap, Richter thought. She was also wearing some basic clothes with no real statistics. In her pouch, she did have one ruby, albeit of small size, and several small lumps of copper and silver. The only other thing that was of note was a weak mana potion. He placed everything in his bag. He watched the two charmed kobolds until they had almost run out of paper. Richter retrieved the parchment that the Longfang kobold clan had written on and had them start using the clean bags. While he waited for them to continue, Richter reloaded his ring of spell storage with another charm spell. Futin checked back in periodically and assured Richter that no one was approaching their position. After a time, Richter took what they had and arranged it on the ground. It took several minutes to arrange, but then a large map could clearly be seen. A prompt appeared, offering to add this new information to his traveler's map. After accepting yes, the subterranean information Richter could access expanded massively. As the kobolds continued to work, he explored the map. As instructed, the charmed creatures had focused first on showing him the way to the Longfang's territory. There were four large tunnels depicted on his map that led between the two territories, and countless smaller passageways. Several underground rivers crisscrossed the map. Sometimes the waterways appeared for only small stretches before disappearing into bare rock again. Richter had considered using the rivers to get out of the depths, but from what he could see, he would drown long before they made it outside. Instead, he focused on the tunnels. The problem was every single one of them had either traps, contingents of guards, or usually both. And it wasn't just the Saberclaw's defenses that were shown. Enfota had at least some information about the Longfang's defenses. Apparently, as a member of a higher caste, she had access to intelligence on nearby enemies. Looking at the gauntlet he would have to make it through, Richter silently agreed that it would be near impossible to make it back to the ruined temple. He kept searching the maps for anything that might help, though. As the kobolds finished new sections of the map, he continued examining and adding them to his traveler's map. Some things started to catch his attention. A section of tunnel was climbing in elevation. He excitedly took the next parchment from Enfota and saw that it too showed tunnels leading upward. "Do any of these lead to the surface?" he asked quickly.
"Yes, master," the mage replied. "There are many routes to the surface. This section of tunnel will lead you into the forest."
Richter face-palmed. Of course there would be other routes to the surface. He had been so fixated on getting back to the village by the one route he knew was available that he hadn't even considered other options. This was the kind of mistake that could literally get him killed. Richter shook his head and recriminated himself again. He had to do better. Richter ordered her to detail the quickest route to the surface while Durgen continued drawing any points of interest. As he waited for her to finish, Richter examined the various locations the fighter was jotting down. A small gold mine was far below their present position. It was guarded by what looked like a large contingent of kobolds. Another interesting location was a storage area. Durgen said it was a space where his people stored the items they captured from enemies. At any time, it could be full of trash or treasure. It had a small number of guards, according to Durgen. More and more important sites filled the pages of the maps. One was relatively close by, and the kobold depicted it with a series of spikes. "What's this?" Richter said, pointing.
"That is a crystal garden, master."
"What is that?"
"Crystals can be ground down and used to make higher-level potions and items," the kobold replied.
Richter remembered Sion saying that finding more crystals was a priority. "So the crystals just occur naturally? Are there any other locations nearby?" And Fota answered,
"Crystals are grown, master. They can occur in small quantities randomly, but a crystal garden has a focused crystal at its heart. Given time and the right conditions, it will grow an unlimited amount of crystal."
Richter's eyes lit up with greed. He had been considering attacking if there was a stockpile of crystal, basically just a snatch and grab, but if he could make his own garden, that would be phenomenal. Coupled with the bonus from his life mastery, it would grow as much crystal as his people needed. Something bothered him, though. "Why aren't you marking down any guards? It doesn't make sense that it would be left unprotected." The two kobolds looked at each other before replying,
"It is guarded, my lord."
"Then why didn't you mark a guard post down like you did other places on the map?" Durgen answered,
"There will be a number of workers that are mining the garden, master. Outside of that, there was only a small force guarding the garden. The contingent is normally larger, but fighters were pulled away for a raid on another clan."
"How many can we expect?" Richter asked a bit impatiently. He felt like the kobold was being recalcitrant for some reason. Durgen's face twitched.
"There will be only 3 Kolcast guards left. You killed the rest."
The fighter pointed at the kobold bodies. There wasn't any anger in the kobold's voice as he spoke, but Richter wondered about the twitch that had preceded Durgen's answer. While charm was amazingly useful, he wondered at the limitations of the spell. Could someone under its effects lie, even if it was only a lie of omission? Was the real Durgen screaming from inside his own skull trying to get free? Richter really had no way of knowing, since he had never personally suffered the effects of the spell. He pushed that question to the back of his mind. Focusing on the here and now, he was suddenly elated. There were only 3 guards left. It meant that a valuable resource was basically unprotected. "If I decide to attack, is there anything else I will need to be careful of?" He wanted that focus crystal.
"If any of the workers survive the initial attack, they will run to collect reinforcements. Outside of that, the focus crystal protects itself. It will summon a guardian that must be defeated before it can be collected."
Richter felt his enthusiasm wane slightly. "How much time before the reinforcements arrive?"
"If the workers have to run to the nearest guard post, perhaps 30 minutes. If they encounter a patrol, then much faster,"
Durgen replied. "What type of guardian will the focus crystal summon?" he asked.
"A beast formed of crystal itself,"
Enfota answered.
"I have seen a small one once before. On the patrol, our people found a crystal garden in the wild. The garden was young, though. The crystals only grew several paces across, and so the guardian it summoned was not much larger than a skitter."
"So the guardians get stronger the older the garden is?" Richter asked.
"Yes, master."
"Well, how old is the garden you were guarding?"
"Focus crystals and the gardens they create gain power the older they are. This garden is more than 50 years old, master, and it fills several caves,"
Enfota answered.
"God damn it,"
Richter muttered under his breath. He still wasn't deterred, though, and Richter thought about the problem. His attack and capture of these two showed how much of a difference preparation could make in a battle. If he had attacked the Cobalt Patrol head-on, it was completely possible that the 8 reptiles would have slaughtered him. He had been able to get close, though, and attack from surprise. That had made all the difference. How could he sneak close to the guard?